This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Nick Lodolo, Jose Trevino, two of the early guests on the Jim Day podcast, taking on Caleb Durbin, who launches a ball to left. And that is gone. Now, Durbin was brought in the Nestor Cortez deal from the Yankees, and he's a rookie that could factor for the Brewers out of spring training.
Yeah, I think when you go back to Lodolo's first start, he was having some trouble getting the ball over the plate.
This has good carry to deep left center. And that's back-to-back jacks to begin the game.
And I think probably because he had a difficult time getting the ball over the plate in game one of his spring training outing, he's trying to pound the strike zone here tonight, and he's leaving the ball in the middle of the plate.
All right, courtesy of FanDuel Sports Network there. Joining us now to talk about the new Top 30 prospect list on MLB Pipeline. Sam Dykstra joins us. Follow him on Twitter at Sam Dykstra, MILB. Good afternoon, Sam. Thanks for coming on.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for having me.
Do tell me your thoughts on Caleb Durbin and how he fits into this puzzle for the Brewers, and how high were you on him coming up through the minor leagues?
Yeah, I mean, he's somebody who was kind of on my radar for the Yankees. I don't do the Yankees top 30, but I was in the Arizona Fall League last fall when he set the AFL record for most stolen bases with 29. He broke a record of that went back to the days when the AFL used to be significantly longer. That tells you how much he was willing to push the envelope on the bases last year. He always intrigued me as a guy with a really good approach, just not really much power. You got to see it a little bit there. You know, he's got pull side pop. He prioritizes kind of pulling and lifting the ball. He's dealt with some handmade stuff in the past. We gave him 30 power on the 20-80 scale. Maybe with more health, you can get a little bit closer to just below average and still instead of well below average. But he's supremely athletic. I still see him as mostly a utility infield type, somebody who can play second base, play third base, maybe even play some outfield because of that athleticism. I know there's some questions about, like, could he be the everyday third baseman? I think we're kind of in, like, Oliver Dunn territory with that. Like,
wonderful.
But he's an option. He's somebody you would like to have on your bench with that speed and that overall approach.
What about Oliver Dunn? Is he a starting third baseman in Major League Baseball?
I don't quite see it. He's another utility type for me.
Yep.
You know, I get it. Like, Joey Ortiz, maybe there's some feeling that put him back at third. He played there yet last year. Slide over Bryce Terang at shortstop, obviously supremely athletic. But I would keep Terang at second. Keep Ortiz at short and maybe just let third base. I don't know. I think they're going to still be searching for options there.
How about the new Babe Ruth in spring training, Vinny Capra, who you just heard with his fourth home run? You like him?
A little bit. I mean, he's never really been a top 30 prospect for us. But one thing that always stands out to me from Milwaukee, and honestly, it's a reason why I ranked Isaac Collins at number 30 on our list, is they always seem to find these guys that are on the periphery of prospect status and develop them really well at the major league level. Maybe Vinny Capra is that next guy.
I'd like to thank you for confirming everything I thought, which was they're screwed. That's what I thought before I talked to you, and now you've just reconfirmed it to me. Thank you very much, Sam Dykstra. All right, let's talk about the top 30 prospect list. This makes me smile because the Brewers, I feel like, have been doing a really good job in the farm system for the last several years. One is Jefferson Cuero coming off of injury. I don't think that's surprising at all. But let's talk about who is number two on your list, Sam Dykstra.
Yeah, number two, Jesus Madé. I have to talk about Jesus Madé all day long. 17 years old, only going to be turning 18 in May. Just everything we heard coming out of the Dominican Summer League. Obviously, the numbers were really strong there. More walks than strikeouts, hit for power, stole bases. Everything looked really promising, but it's the Dominican Summer League. You know, you take that with too much salt. But you should take it with a lot of salt because the guys down there are wild. They're just getting started. It's a lot of basically high school arms. But all the underlying data on Jesus Madé was really, really promising. The hard hit rates, the 90th percentile exit velocities, and the fact that he was doing this in his first taste of the pros, and is probably only going to get stronger from here, show even better swing decisions moving forward. There's a lot to like there, plus the fact that he plays shortstop, above average run, really good arm. If he has to slide over to third base, it's still going to work there. But, you know, people I talk to with the Brewers, they say what he's doing right now offensively is ahead of where Jackson Turio was at the same age.
Let's talk about some of these prospects, because I think there's a chance within 3 years that Ortiz is gone, Terang is gone, and this infield is completely different just based on what is coming from this list. I mean, Madé is two, Cooper Pratt is three, a shortstop, Mike Bove or Bovey, whatever you say, he's a potential first or third baseman, plus you got Patante coming who can play first or third, Luke Adams coming that can play first or third, Luis Peña is another guy that people are high on, he's 10th on your list, shortstop. Or third. I mean, there's a chance both of these guys that are starting right now for the Brewers are gone in, say, 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, I won't project that too much right now, but yeah, it's fascinating putting together this list and just realizing how many guys they have that are first/third basemen. You know, you mentioned Patante and Adams. Both of those guys are 6'4". Patante's done a really good job of getting into his power so far. There's some swing and miss concerns, but he's like a former shortstop. If he has to go to first base long-term, that's fine. He can be pretty athletic over there. Luke Adams, you know, he's been fascinating to watch because he's been such a high OBP type. And when I ask around about that, I'm like, is he just passive? And they're like, well, there is that to some degree. He also gets hit a lot, so that puts the on-base percentage higher. But they think a part of that is that single-A and high-A pitchers are afraid to throw to him.
Good.
That they are not willing to throw the ball in the zone because they're worried he's going to pound it. And he's done a really good job of laying off pitches that are just not in his zone. And that's why he hasn't swung. So what happens when he goes up against double-A guys, triple-A guys with better command and more willingness to challenge him? We're about to see, because that's going to come real quick. But, yeah, I mean, Mike Bovey is number five on our list. He's there because they believe he can hit. I believe he can hit. He's shown he can hit. It's just what is the power going to be? And he dealt with a shoulder problem last year. Hopefully he's going to be fully healthy this year, and then we get to see a little bit more power out of him.
Okay, another guy that I want to talk about, who I talk about, I feel like, all the time, because I'm high on him. He's down on your list. Brock Wilken, down at 18. The third baseman got hit in the face last year. You know, his first year, after he got signed, he had like 289, something like that. Looked pretty good. His average last year was horrible. Part of that, I go with projection of getting hit in the face. Is he a third baseman long-term, or is he another guy that could move over? Because he is really thick.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In the lower half.
Yeah, I mean, he's also a well below average runner. You know, they've only played him at third base so far, and I think that's to his credit. The Brewers are totally willing to get guys time at first base if that's where they think they are going to end up. He has a really good arm. I think he can kind of make that work. He's not as stretched defensively as the Luke Adams is, or Eric Patante even has already started playing a lot of first base. So I think he could handle third base enough. It's just he's going to have to hit for power, because that is where it's at for him. You look at him you look at his swing, you look at the way he loads. It's just kind of like, I don't know. He's going to need to be somebody who's going to be lifting the ball consistently. I see him get beat a lot low and away. I wonder how much of that is the concern about the face, because if you're just getting worried about what's coming up and in, guys are going to get you down and away too.
For sure.
Part of me wanted to just flush last year and still rank him pretty high, but this is a Brewers list that is so deep that he just kept getting pushed down because of recent performance. He has every possibility, if that's beyond him, and he became a father very late last year too, and I think that kind of weighed on him, especially second half and going into the Arizona Fall League. With all of that kind of settled, his kid a little bit older, he's not a new father anymore, I think he could have a good year, but I think we're going to need to see it first before stepping up higher on this list.
Sam Dykstra, MLB Pipeline, their top 30 prospect list out for the Brewers today. Follow him on Twitter at Sam Dykstra, MILB, joins us here at Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's here on The Fan. Hey, man, what's this deal with Craig Yoho down at 19? I mean, I think there's a good chance he's in the bullpen to start the year for the Brewers, no?
Yeah, he was one that was really difficult for me to rank because I love him. I love the guy. I mean, we gave him a 70-grade changeup on the 20 to 80 scale. I almost did 80. I almost stuffed it and went to 80 because it's one of the best pitches in the minor leagues. It's the closest thing to the airbender in the Milwaukee system. But this list is so good that there are guys ahead of him who are more likely starters. There are guys above him who are more likely everyday position players. It's just so tough to rank a true reliever above those guys. I think that speaks more to the depth of this Milwaukee list than anything about Craig Yoho, because I do, several other top 30s for MLB Pipeline. I feel comfortable saying he would have been a top 10 prospect in many other systems. It was just, when you're comparing him to starting pitchers, guys who could go 4, 5, 6 innings someday, and he's just going to be a one-inning guy, that's what we had to weigh there. But still like him, still could be a potential closer or high-leverage type from Milwaukee for sure.
Let's talk about a couple other guys on this list that are relatively high that people may not know. Yofre Rodriguez, an outfielder at 7 on this list, projected time 2027 to be at the Brewers. So tell us about him.
Yeah, Yofre Rodriguez, he was following that Jackson Churillo path, somebody who skipped over the Dominican Summer League completely. And one of the best indicators for future success is age compared to league. So if you're playing at single A ball like he did, he even reached high A very end of last year at 18, and the team trusts you to do that. Even if the numbers aren't great, that still speaks pretty well to who you will be going forward. So I think he can be an above average hitter from the left side. He's an above average runner. There's not a lot of plus skills in his game right now, but he has tons of ability to grow from there. And I think having that year of stateside ball under him, I think we could see some really special numbers from Yofre Rodriguez this year.
Talking with our guy Sam Dykstra, MLB Pipeline, joining us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Another guy that is coming over with Jesus Madé and has a lot of hype, but unfortunately gets drowned out by all the Madé love. That's Luis Peña, another shortstop third baseman, as we talked about earlier. He's at 10. What does he bring?
He brings plus speed. I mean, if you think about Madé and the impact he provides at the plate, Peña's even faster than him. They both play that infield shortstop / third base. It's a little less power than Madé, a little less ability to hit. He is right-handed. He's got an above-average arm. So if he needs to move over to third, that's fine. I would be interested to see him at second, to be honest with you, because of how fast he plays and keep him up the middle. I don't know if they're going to push him as aggressively as Madé. I mean, Madé, there's all the talk I've heard is that he could open the year in Carolina, again, following that Churillo and Yofre Rodriguez route. Maybe Peña holds back in Arizona for a little bit longer. They might try to see him in the Arizona Complex League just because he's not over the top good like Madé. But, again, just 18. He turned 18 in November. With that plus speed, he can really wreak havoc on the base paths.
Give me a guy, Sam Dykstra, that was a big-time riser from last year's list to this year's list that going into last year you had one opinion of, and now it's a lot better than it was.
Yeah, I think Brett Rutkowski is one of those guys. He's at number 14 on our list. He was a 13th round pick in 2023. It was kind of interesting. Heard some good things coming out of the spring, and those have just continued ever since. I mean, it's a really good fastball, really good slider. He's got a cutter in there, too, which everybody seems to be adding now. If you got the bigger slider, you want something in between. He might be a reliever at the end of the day because it's just below average control. But I think getting 1 year under his belt with the Brewers, reaching double-A Biloxi like he did, throwing 89 innings, I think bigger things are going to come from here because he's gotten that taste of pro ball and the stuff is already pretty good. So I'm really intrigued what comes from year two of Brett Rutkowski.
I have one more guy I want to talk about because I think as much as we talk about Made being a potential stud, I think this dude's got all the makings of being a potential stud too, 17 as well. Kenny Fenelon, tell us about him and how they got him.
Yeah, he was one of their big signings. They had 2 7-figure signings this year in the international market of $1.3 million. He's another power speed type. I mean, he's somebody who's hitting from the right side. We got above average power on him, above average run. Could be a really good fielder. Some questions about the arm, so maybe if he has to move to left instead of center. But, you know, anytime Milwaukee signs somebody for a decent amount of change, given the way they've developed these guys and identified them especially well, you know, my eyebrow gets raised. I mean, the director of international scouting, James Armstrong, said it was top of the market power in Fenelon. We'll see how it plays in the DSL. Is it going to be like Made? We'll see. I mean, Made wasn't even a 7-figure signing, so Fenelon's already got the upper leg on him, or the upper hand on him. But
he looks more built than Churio or Made.
Yeah, I mean, 6'1", 184 right now. There's still some physical projection moving forward on that. I'm really interested to see what happens when he's working with some of those DSL hitting instructors for Milwaukee because clearly they know what they're doing down there.
Where do you rank Sam Dykstra, this Brewers farm system, overall? Have you gotten to that point yet?
Yeah, I mean, our farm system rankings will be coming out on Friday. I can tell you that they will be top 10.
Okay.
And I will leave it there.
That's fine. Top 10 is good. I'll take top 10. That's good stuff for the Milwaukee Brewers. Sam, thanks so much for coming on. Obviously, MLB Pipeline is where you want to go. Follow them on Twitter at Sam Dykstra, MILB. They do an amazing job over there. Sam, thanks so much, man.
Yeah, thanks so much. Anytime.